51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. In 2013, Catherine Ryan Howard published, self-published in fact, a non-fiction book called Mousetrapped, a light-hearted memoir about her time working at Disney World in Florida. She had failed to get a publisher for it elsewhere since then. However, the Cork author has turned to crime writing and found a home with Corvus Books. In March this year, she signed a six-book deal with US publisher Blackstone Press for a six-figure sum. Catherine has just published her third thriller. It's called Rewind and revolves around the disappearance of Natalie O'Connor, a star influencer on Irish social media. Declan Burke has been reading the book. He's with me now in studio. You know, sometimes I hear these six-figure sums and six books and you think, well, yeah, 100,000 is a six-figure sum. Divide that by six. And if you're writing a book a year, that's about, you know, 15,000-20,000 a year,
which a lot of writers will tell you is much more than they have been paid per book and so forth. And do you know what, from my point of view, I'm not interested in advances and so forth. So, you know, are the books any good and so forth? I mean, look, from the intro we can see that Catherine Ryan Howard, she's relatively early in her career still, but that trajectory, that's got to be wonderful news for any aspiring writer.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I don't mean to be poo-pooing on it at all.
I understand that, absolutely. The point I wanted to make was the three books she has published so far, and I read a lot of crime fiction. A writer is successful with the first book, they tend to say them again a little different. That's what the publisher wants. What Catherine Ryan Howard has done is very, very different. The three books have been kind of distinctive types of crime fiction. The first one, Distress Signal, set on a cruise liner, which is a very interesting place, and revolving around a serial killer. The second, The Liar's Girl, set in a kind of a more hard-boiled Dublin, if we can put it that way. And the third one, Rewind, which we'll explore now in a bit of depth, is a different kind of novel again. And I'm very impressed, particularly for a relatively new young writer, to have that kind of ambition to write different kind of books each time.
And, you know, I said that she self-published The Mousetrapped, which was this light-hearted memoir. But she had always said, I think, I want to be a crime writer.
That was,
and I want to be published. I'm not necessarily interested in self-publishing. Yeah, and she obviously, if she got herself from self-publishing to being published, that in itself is a success. But then these three very different books maybe puts that six-book deal into a different light.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, to make that jump from self-publishing, it's not easy, because once you're published, or once you're self-published,
you can only publish your first book once.
Exactly, indeed. You know what, given that trajectory, I also note from her her biographical notes on her website that she harbours an ambition when she grows up to become a NASA astronaut. The way she's going, I wouldn't put
wouldn't
it
be
past
surprised,
her.
But she'd get there. All right, so we're in then to what is crime fiction book number four, Rewind, is it?
I think it's the third.
Sorry, crime fiction book number three, Rewind. And that, I mentioned Psycho and I mentioned Fatal Attraction. Even the term Rewind were in the world of film from the very outset.
From the very outset, absolutely. It's the phrase, a killer hook, is bandied around, particularly in terms of crime fiction. It's about drawing the reader in immediately. And the first chapter, very, very brief chapter, is kind of framed as a very short film. Almost as if a director has set down these directions to be followed. Very creepy setup. It's a dark and darkened what seems to be a hotel room. We see a woman sleeping, nothing seems to happen until a figure detaches itself from the shadows, all dressed in black, wearing a balaclava and holding a knife. As I say, incredibly creepy, and the violence at this point is predestined. Now, what I liked with what Catherine Ryan Howard did with this material is there is often, you know, aimed at crime writers, and justifiably so in some cases, the fact that violence in crime films, and particularly violence against women, is there simply almost as window dressing. Let's get the plot started, let's murder a defenceless woman, and let's investigate that murder. What Catherine does is, you know, the language she uses is very stark, it's repetitive. I can just read you a quick sample. The knife rises slowly in the air.
Say that this is fairly on the head in terms of what she's going to describe here, in terms of what's, you know, just for those who are listening, it is pretty on the money in its description.
And for reasons that I'll explain, if that's okay, but the knife rises slowly in the air, lifts again, down again, into the chest, lifts again, down again, a slash across the woman's form, lifts again, down again. You know, that repetition is not accidental, it's deliberate, it's uncompromising, and unless you're made of stone as a reader, it's impossible not to empathise with the helplessness, regardless of your gender, I think, with the helplessness of that victim.
And again, I mean, the lifts again, down again, is very reminiscent of the Psycho scene in the shower and the knife literally going up and down. And I suppose it's a direct reference to that.
At the time, it didn't occur to me. Shortly afterwards, as the novel starts to evolve, one of the main characters, Natalie, who we'll describe in a bit more detail. So she arrives in a remote Cork village to a holiday village. And the guy who's looking after the holiday village, as soon as he opens his mouth and starts talking, I'm kind of going...
This is Norman Bates' first cousin.
It certainly, that's what it suggested to me. Was I reading too much into it? No, because later, twice, in fact, Catherine makes specific references to Norman Bates, once in the middle of the novel, again closer to the end of the novel. So, yes, deliberately, and I think... The Norman Bates reference isn't, again, accidental. Yeah. Catherine's a very clever writer. There's certainly a Hitchcockian kind of motif running through this. Very deliberately.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Natalie, and her husband is Mike, isn't he?
That's correct.
Because they're kind of an important couple in terms of the story that's told. Instagram's golden couple, Irish Instagram's golden couple. So we're in the world of social media.
Social media, and Natalie O'Connor is a social media influencer. And we very quickly learned that Natalie has travelled to this remote Cork village, which is called Shannamore, the glorified crossroads of Shannamore, as Catherine puts it, because she suspects that Mike is having an affair and that one of the liaisons likely happened in Shannamore. Now, My first instinct, maybe because I'm a man and maybe because I'm of a certain vintage, was when I read the word social media influencer, my eyes kind of rolled a little, and I thought maybe, you know, there's going to be some cheap shots at that kind of role and that kind of shallow, kind of vapid online life.
Yeah, so painting
and so
characters
forth.
That just have are one-dimensional.
Absolutely, but you know, not for the first time. Catherine kind of sucker punched me. The character of Natalie is herself quite aware and concerned that she may be perceived as a kind of a vain, shallow shill. Right. It's part of her issue. And what we actually get as the story unfolds is a very sympathetic portrait of a contemporary woman who feels like she's living in a gilded cage and has been held up to scrutiny day and night, 24/7. And also aware of the irony that she is the one who has propelled herself into the spotlight. So a very complex character.
Yeah, and added to that then, we're not only in the world of social media, we're in the world of online journalism in a paper called thepaper.ie, which is very like another paper in Ireland.
Yes, indeed, indeed. We have a journalist called Audrey who wants to be a serious journalist, but she specialises in pieces that, and I quote, woman somewhere on celebrity spectrum goes about her daily life. So this is what she spends her day writing. As I say, she has ambitions to be a better person and a better journalist. And she's assigned to cover this, you know, give me 200 words on the disappearance of Natalie O'Connor. But her issue is that Natalie's husband, Mike, the Gardaí, which... seem to be all men in the story at least, and her own boss, none of them seem to be concerned about the fact that this woman has gone missing. None of them are unduly perturbed. So Audrey takes it upon herself as a journalist and as a woman to take off and try and find out the truth about Natalie's disappearance.
Yeah, and the other characters come into play, but we leave it there because that's all part of the joy of reading the book, I guess. The setting, though, is important here, and I think you were particularly impressed with how Shannamore is a kind of out-of-season village, is it, in West Cork?
It is, perpetually out of season. What I liked is Catherine's understanding of Ireland, I think, has as many strengths and weaknesses as a setting for contemporary thrillers. In part, it's too small a country to allow for that quality of anonymity where crime thrives and therefore crime fiction thrives. Now, unfortunately, in the recent decades, crime has flourished and so has crime fiction. But Catherine kind of humorously points out the limitations. She says, you couldn't walk down the street in this country without someone who knew you catching in the act. Ireland was the opposite of the witness protection programme, so why hadn't Natalie been spotted when so many people knew who she was? So in order to kind of circumvent that, what Catherine does is take us out of that kind of more well-known milieu and take us down the country. You can't get really any more rural than Shannamore and West Cork, or else your feet are getting very, very wet. And it's somewhere where, you know, the Wi-Fi, as anyone in rural Ireland will know, is always spotty and so forth. A generation perhaps less au fait with Instagram and Twitter and all the rest of. So it's a place where a character can plausibly go missing, which is not always the case in Ireland. But it also kind of transforms Shannamore into the classic locked room mystery scenario. when Audrey arrives, where's Natalie O'Connor? Who's she? Never heard.
And I don't want to give anything away, but the other thing that she, the way she, I suppose, justifies the small setting of, or the, you know, the small scale of Ireland in that respect is there are the stories, the various characters interlink in ways that maybe we don't expect. And least set on that.
Well, absolutely, but it's a very good point, Sean, because if the same story took place in the States, we'll say, you'd be throwing the book across the room and say, that's a ridiculous coincidence. In a relatively small scenario like that,
it's acceptable.
Absolutely.
I mentioned film, and I mentioned Psycho and Fatal Attraction, that kind of those plots play into the story in some ways. Is there a film here, do you think? Is there a film in this book?
Oh, I think it's very cinematic. I mean, to a certain extent, Catherine has labelled the chapters, they are rewind, fast forward, pause and so forth. Yeah. It's almost as if she's given directorial directions.
Make the film now is probably what you write at the
indeed.
End in the epilogue.
But it's very vividly depicted. The writing isn't quite as, you know, as short and brief as you would get from a film script, but there's no unnecessary digressions and descriptions. This is a terrific full barrel thriller.
You enjoyed it enormously.
I thought it was terrific. One slight caveat about the revelation about the villain, which would be unfair to reveal here, of course, but I think very clever thriller, and certainly confirms that Catherine Ryan Howard is a big talent to watch.
All right, that's Catherine Ryan Howard's Rewind. That's the book that Declan Burke has been talking to us about. It's published by Corvus. And yes, let me be sure that I'm congratulating Catherine Ryan Howard on her success with that 6-book deal. Hope that it all goes very well. Join